Now we're holding on Vov Omud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday a four-way machlokas about pshara or bitsua, according to the different names that the Gemara had called it, which is when dayanim say to the two baladin when they tell them to make a compromise, or when they themselves make a compromise and enforce it on the baladin. Should they be doing that or not? So we had a range of different opinions. We had Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosher Rabbi Yisag really saying it's also to do that once they came to Beis Din. If you want to do a pshara, it has to be before they ever come to Beis Din. Or if you're not a dayan at all, as we talked yesterday about Aaron. Then we had a couple of opinions that said that the pasuk that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosher Rabbi Yisag really had brought to criticize a Beitseya is actually not talking about that. They're talking about various other things. So in that case, according to them, there's no reason to say that we shouldn't do a pshara. And we had Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha saying mitzvah l'tzoya, that it's a mitzvah to try to make a compromise. So the Gemara, one thing we said was that eventually there comes the point of Gemar Din. There comes the point when they've completed the judgment, and we said that according to one of these opinions, when it comes to Gemar Din, so we had actually the Tanakama in that Braisa had said that had brought a pasuk Poter Mayim Reishis Modern, that even after they came to Beis Din, even after you heard their tainus, but you don't yet know which way the case is likely to go, then you're allowed to make a pshara. But after that, Nigmar Adin, then you're not allowed to. So we talked about Rashi had said Nigmar Adin means, as the Gemara is going to say over here, we actually gave out the Psak Din. And Tosfos wonder if you already gave out the Psak Din, why would the winning party be willing at that point to accept a compromise anyway? So Tosfos had said what it means is Beis Din shouldn't mislead him into accepting one, but they themselves prefer to explain that Nigmar Adin for that purpose means, unlike what the Gemara is going to say over here now, the earlier Nigman Adin means more like they already finished listening to the arguments and they hadn't yet given the verdict. Okay, so the Gemara says, Heichi Domi Gemar Din. What is the definition of Gemar Din? Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav, Ish Pliny at the Chayiv, Ish Pliny at the Zakai. Once they give out the Psak and they say, you Pliny are Chayiv, you are Zakai, at that point, then according to that opinion, they can't make a Pshara anymore. And even Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha may not be disagreeing with that. He just said that there's a mitzvah to broker a compromise, but he's not saying up until what point. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, halacha ke Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. The halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, so there is a mitzvah to do a pshara. Now, given what we just said, actually, that until Gemar Din, you're able to. There are actually the poskim talk about various possibilities. Even after, again, we do have the Gemara had just said only until you say Ish Pliny at the Chayev, Ish Pliny at the Zakai. There are a number of points that Mefoshim point out that you might be able to make a pshara even as long as it's not Gemar Din yet, even very late in the game. For example, the Shilti Agiborim says, and the Shach brings this, that what happens if the Dayanim are going to explain the Pshara and they're going to convince the two people to accept it, then it would be allowed even after Gemar Din, as long as they up to Gemar Din. In other words, the Shilti Agiborim is learning, then the Dayanim have the ability to force a compromise, to state a Pshara, and you guys have to listen to it, or else you're disobeying Beis Din. After the Gemar Din, he learns they would even be able to say a compromise, but at that point all they can do is try to convince the two parties to go by it rather than forcing them. And then you have other details as well. For example, Hagoyes Oshri brings from the Rashba that if the Psak Din is that one of them is going to have to swear, then even after then at that point they can still say a pshara, because making a shavua is a very serious thing and we want to avoid that. So then that's a valid reason to make a pshara. Okay, so there's a lot of discussion back and forth among the Rishonim and among the Achronim on various details about that. Okay, so the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? That Rav holds as a mitzvah to make a pshara. V'ho Rav Huna talmidei de Rav hava. We know that Rav Huna was a talmid of Rav, and therefore when Rav Huna does something, we can assume that it's following what Rav says. And ki hava also the kamei de Rav Huna, when people would come to a din Torah in front of Rav Huna, Amalahu, he would tell them, I dina ba'isu, I pshara ba'isu. He would tell them, do you want me to judge you a din Torah, or do you want me to arrange a pshara? Now, if Rav holds there's a mitzvah to make a pshara, then he should just say to begin with, do you want me to make you a pshara? And only if they say no, then he should offer them to do a din. And the answer is, my mitzvah, nami, dekamer, Rabbi Shoben Torcha, mitzvah l'meim r'lehu idina b'isu, ipshara b'isu. Well, that's exactly what Rabbi Shoben Torcha means. He means the mitzvah is, the proper way to do things, is to offer them both possibilities. Doesn't mean you have to say first that you want a pshara, and wait for them to say yes or no, before you go on to the next thing. You're allowed to tell them to begin with, do you want one or the other? Well, the Gemara asks Chayinu Tanakama, then in that case it comes out, Rabbi Shulman Kocha seems to be saying the same thing as the Tanakama. The Tanakama had also said that the Dayan can make a pshara. After all, the Tanakama of the earlier Braisa, the long Braisa that we learned yesterday, had said, after Nigmar Adin, you can't make a pshara, implying that until that point you could. And the answer is, it could be a mitzvah. The nafkamina between them, the argument between them, would be it is a mitzvah to do that. Rabbi Shimon Korcha Sava Mitzvah, Tanakama Sava Rishus. So Rabbi Shimon Korcha will hold that it's a mitzvah, which is a stronger, in general, in the Gemara, you have the way it works as far as the levels of Chiyuvim, you have three levels. There's Rishus, something that's completely optional. You have mitzvah, which is something that it's the right thing to do, but you're not absolutely required to do it. And then you have Choyva, which is you're absolutely required to do it. So the Tanakama is saying that it's Rishus. You want to do it. You don't want to do it, don't do it. There's no particular mitzvah to do it. Rabbi Shimon Korcha holds there's a mitzvah to do it. It's not a choiva, but it is a higher level of obligation. Fine. The Gemara asks, Hainu did Rabbi Shimon Menasya. Well, doesn't this also then, the Tanakama would then be exactly what Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya had said, who said that earlier, we said that where as long as you don't know Lahechan Adin Noite, when you don't know which way the verdict is likely to go, then you're still allowed to offer a pshara, but after that you're not. According to what we just said, if the Tanakama is saying it's optional, and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya is also saying it's optional until you know which way the verdict is likely to go, then it comes out, they're saying the same thing. And the answer is, Ikta Benayu, that's exactly the difference. Mishatishma Divrayan, Vati Adeh, Lahechan Adin Noita, where Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya is saying that after you've heard what they have to say, and you don't know yet which way it's likely to go, because you still have to examine all the evidence, and cross-examine all the Edim, and so on and so forth, Iyata Rashoy Loim Lahan Suuvitsu, where Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya says at that point, you can't tell them anymore, go make a compromise, whereas the Tanakama disagrees with that point, and says that even at that point, you could tell them to make a compromise, and only when you get to actual Gmar Din, only then can you not do that. Okay, so we have several different, in short, we have several different opinions about when you can and can't make a pshara, and again, even after the time when you can't make it, there are poskim who say that there still are situations where you could, such as, for example, if there's going to be a shvur involved, or such as, or that even after the Gmar Din, you could try to convince them still to do a compromise. Now, earlier we learned in the long braisa that discussed this whole point of making a pshara, which we had also called a person who makes a pshara, we also called him boitseya. Because we said boitseya means either, the word boitseya has a couple of meanings, one of them meaning to break up, which means, because like that, like splitting, like you're splitting the difference between the two people. So we had Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosher, Rabbi Yosef Lili, saying that it's also to do that after they came to Beis Din, and he quoted in that pasuk, Beitseya Beirach Niyat Hashem, the one who blesses, who compliments the Beitseya for what he did, is really angering and blaspheming Hashem. And then the Braisa brought several other opinions, what a Beitseya Beirach Niyat Hashem refers to. Does it refer to somebody who stole wheat and made bread out of it, and about him making the bracha on it? Is it about Yehuda, who only did half the job by saving Yosef instead of saving him completely? So now the Gemara says, "Upliga did abtanchum bachaniloi." Those explanations that say that Beitseya Beirach refers to various things like that, those argue, and in particular Rabbi Yezib Rabbi Yossi, who holds that it refers to somebody who makes a pshara, Upliga de Rab Tanchum Bachani Loi, he is arguing with Rab Tanchum Bachani Loi, who learns that the Pasuk is referring to a different story in Jewish history. Do Amr Rab Tanchum Bachani Loi, Loi Nema Mikra Zeh, Ela Ela Keneged Meiser Egel. That pasuk, Vitzeh Berach, Nietz Hashem, is referring to the story of the eagle. When Aaron sort of makes a pshara, Aaron was being faced with the demand of everybody to make an eagle, and he tried to split the difference and make the eagle, but try to talk him out of it, as we know from the psukim and Rashi over there. So in other words, Rav Tanchum says that he was in that way, he was being a Vitzeh, and he shouldn't have done that. This is the way Rashi learns what this pliga that Abtanchum Bachani Loi. Tosfos says that no, it's actually referring to something else. Before Rabbi Eliezer, Benoish Rabbi Yosef Aglili, when he had pointed out that, you know, that a Dayan is not allowed to make a compromise once the case has come to Beis Din, he contrasted it with Aaron, who would make peace between people. Oy of Shalom, Veroy of Shalom. And we said, according to Rashi, the vort is that that Aaron, as soon as he heard the machloikas before they ever came to a din torah to him, would try to make shalom. And even Rabbi Eliezer, Benoish Rabbi Yosef Aglili, agrees that that's fine. And according to Tosfos, the vort is Aaron himself was never a Dayan in the first place, so therefore there's no problem with him brokering a compromise. So now Tosfos says this upliga is referring back to that. That he was saying that Aaron was out of Shalom, but out of Shalom, and now we're saying, and the Pesuk had said, V'rabim heshiv me'ovein, that he brought back the many from doing Averis. So now the Gemara is saying that Rav Tanchum Bachani Loi says that particular Pesuk is that not referring to his role in making peace between people, but rather to his role in making the Egel, and making it, as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, that like this they're doing the less serious Avera of the various Averis they could have done. So in other words, it comes out according to Rashi that Rav Tanchum is being critical of Aaron, that he shouldn't have done what he did, and according to Tosfos Taker, the Gemara is bringing the Pasuk to praise Aaron that he did the right thing under the circumstances. So what happened? Shenema, Vayar Aaron, the Pasuk says Aaron saw Vayivin Mizbeach Lafonav, but he built a Mizbeach in front of it. So in the simple meaning, it means exactly that, that Aaron saw that things seem to be working out as far as the Egel, Maisa Sutton Itzliach, as Rashi says on the Pasuk over there. He sees all of a sudden there's an Egel came out of the fire, and he didn't have the ability to tell the Jews this whole thing is nonsense, so he builds a Mizbeach, and as Rashi says over there, brings from a Medrash, that he's trying to stall for time, it'll take time to build a Mizbeach, etc. But here the Gemara is taking in a different way. The question is, Ma Ra'a, what exactly did he see? Amar Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Ra'a Chur Shezavuach Lefonav. He saw Chur had been killed in front of him. So in other words, Vayar, Mizbeach, we darshin Vayar, he saw Mizavuach from the one who had been killed. So as we know, Chur tried to stand up against them and tell them, what do you think you're doing? And they killed him. So now he realized, Omar, so he says to himself, Eloi Shmein Elohu Hashta, if I don't listen to them now and at least do something for them, Avodu Li, Kida Avodu B'Chur, then they're going to do to me what they did to Chur, they're going to kill me as well. And that's going to be a terrible, that's going to be a terrible, unforgivable Aveda for them. They'll be fulfilled with me, the Pasuk, as we find much later in Eicha, where they killed a Kohen and a Navi in the Mikdash of Hashem, and that was so unforgivable that, as we know from the story in Gittin, this was the Chariah ben Yehoyada, who had been the Kohen Gadol in his times. He was also a Navi, and he was telling them off for worshipping Avodah Zarah, and the Pasuk describes how they killed him in the Azarah, and as we know from the story in Gittin, that the blood was still boiling and bubbling there on the floor 200 odd years later, until the time of the Churban, and it was Radin killed many, many millions of Jews, over hundreds of thousands of Jews over there, and then so Aaron realized, here I'm in the same situation. Now, one way of understanding, now Aaron is a Navi for sure. How is he a Kohen? He hadn't yet been appointed as Kohen. That happened only when the Mishkan was built a year later. So one explanation is that Marsha explained that he was a Bechor, and the Bechorim, after all, before the Chet Egel did the Avodah. On the other hand, there are Mephoshim that point out that not so, because after all, Aaron is not a Bechor, he has an older sister, Miriam. So the different explanation is that already earlier, Hashem had told by the Sneh, where Moshe had been refusing over and over to go take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, so Hashem finally got angry at him by Yichar Af Hashem B'Moshe, and he told him that Rashi explains over there, your brother Aaron, it was supposed to be, you would be the Kohen, and Aaron would be the Levi, now it'll be the other way around, you'll be the Levi, and Aaron will be the Kohen. So Aaron knew about this, he knew that he's going to be the Kohen, and therefore, and therefore he knows already that he's going to be the Kohen, and therefore, again, if they kill him now, it would be killing both a Kohen and a Navi in the Mikdash of Hashem. Now, there's no Mikdash right now, but again, this is before the Mishkan was built, and you're allowed to bring Korbanos anywhere, so any place is the Mishkan, is the Mikdash of Hashem. So he realized that would be a terrible, unforgivable Avera, so he figures to himself, Loy Havi Lahu Takanta, then there will be no Lo'olam, then there'll be no way of fixing it up. We see that in the end, that brought the Korban. So he figures to himself, better let them worship the eagle. F should have Elohu Takanta. At least that is something revocable. At least that is something that can be fixed up afterwards with tshuva, because they can do tshuva as opposed to they kill somebody, they can't bring them alive with tshuva. So according to Rashi then, Rav Tanchum is applying the pasuk of Itzei Aberach to Aaron and saying, all that may be so. Aaron had valid reasons, but nevertheless, don't go praising him for that, because the fact is it wasn't necessarily the right thing under the circumstances. You don't trade off one Aveda for another and help them do one Aveda to avoid them doing a different Aveda. Whereas according to Tosfos Fakir, we're saying in praise of Aaron, that's what it means. Rabim Heshiv Me'Oven, he brought back the people from the brink where they would have done a terrible, unforgivable Aveda of killing him, and at least they did the lesser Aveda, as bad as it was. In the long brisa that we brought before on Vav Amud Beis, one point we had at one point the Gemara had mentioned the pasuk Poter Mayim Reshis Modern. Literally Poter Mayim Reshis Modern means where like a beginning of a flood of water is the beginning of an argument. Meaning, in other words, that in the simple meaning it means, and the Gemara is going to give that as one of the explanations of the pasuk. It means, in other words, an argument is like a leak of water. It starts off with a tiny little leak, and if you don't take care of it, it becomes a tremendous flood. But before, the Gemara had brought it to mean that before the argument begins, before you know where the argument is going and based in, before you know which way the din is likely to go, Reb Shimon Manasseh had said, at that point you're still allowed to make a pshara, but not after that. He brought the whole posit, Poter Mayim Reishis Modin, V'lifnei Gala Hariv, and before the argument is revealed, meaning before you have a good idea which way it's likely to go, Netosh, then abandon it and try to make a compromise. Now, Reb Shimon Manasseh had brought that pasuk, so he had drawn a distinction between the various stages of the Din Torah when you're allowed and not allowed to make a compromise. Now, though, again, we said there are different Tanoim, some who say that you can make a pshara even after that. The Tanakhama had said all the way until Gmar Din. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosef, Rabbi Yisak Levi had said, on the contrary, not at all, once the Din Torah starts. The Gemara says, "V'hani Tanoi Potemaim Reishis Modin My Daushi Be." The other Tanoim, other than Rav Shimon Manasseh, how are they doushing that pasuk that he brought that shows at what point during the Gemara Din you can make a pshara and whatnot? And the answer is Hidur Rav Hamnuna. They use that pasuk to douch in something that Rav Hamnuna says. The Amar Rav Hamnuna, Ein Tchilas Dinah Shel Adam Nidon Ela Al Divrei Torah. A person's first judgment when it comes to the Olam Ha'emes is about matters of Torah. That he's asked in the Beis Shemayla, why did you not occupy yourself with Torah? Shenemar, same pasuk, Poter Mayim Reishis Modin. Now Mayim is a metaphor for Torah, as we all know, Hokol Tomei L'chol HaMayim. Poter means that he patters himself. So in other words, when he tries to make himself potter from the Torah, and he figures that he's exempt from learning Torah, then Reishis Modin, that is the beginning of the argument against him in the Beis Din Shomayla. So they learn this point from that. Now, Tosfos points out that in the Gemara in Shabbos, it says that when a person comes in front of the Beis Din Shomayla, the first question he's asked is, Nosasa v'nasata be'emuna, did you do business honestly? Then they ask him, Kavaita itama Torah, did you set aside 6 times for learning Torah? So how are we saying over here that first he's asked about the fact that he didn't learn Torah? So Tosfos draws a distinction. There is an answer that in fact Nasasa Bemuna, there is an answer, not in Tosfos, a different one than Meforshim, who says that in fact it does mean Nasasa Nasata Bemuna can mean referring to Torah, because we know you have the give and take of Torah is called Masa Umatam. So therefore it can mean both. In other words, we're asking him, when you argued in Torah, did you do it honestly and truthfully? And then they're asking him, well, Bechlal, did you set aside 6 times for learning? But Tosfos doesn't seem to want that answer. They want to assume that Nasas of Nasata Be'emunah means exactly what it sounds like. Did you do business honestly? So Tosfos gives two answers. One is that there we're talking about a person who was Oisik B'Torah, but he didn't set aside fixed times for it. So he would learn Torah whenever he got around to it, kind of. So then they tell him, why weren't you? So then we tell him, why weren't you Kaveya Itim LaTorah? But they ask him that second after they first ask him, did you do business honestly? Here we're talking about where he didn't learn Torah at all, so therefore, so they ask him, why didn't you learn Torah? Marsha says a similar answer, that the Gemara and Shabbos is talking about a person tried to learn, and he never was successful in it, so people don't have as much of a head for learning. So he spent most of his time on business, so therefore we start asking him about business, as opposed to here, we're talking about a person who was successful in learning, but he stopped. He was poitir himself from it. So now he's being asked, why do you poitir yourself from it, given that you obviously had a head for it, why didn't you continue in it? Then Tosfos gives another explanation that it means, yes, we do mean that he's asked first about whether he did business honestly, but when he gets punished first, then it'll be because of a lack of learning Torah, as we're saying over here. And then there's yet another explanation that Rashi is saying that we're talking about Osid Lavoi, which means that the Gemara and Shabbos is talking about after 120, and here we're talking about when a person is judged by Tchias HaMesim. Anyway, so that's another point that we learn from this pasuk poter mayim reishis modoin. Again, unlike Reb Shimon and Manasseh, who had learned from it a din about when you can make a pshara and when not. So the Gemara continues with several other explanations of that pasuk poter mayim reishis modoin. Amar Rav Huna, Hai Tigra Damyel Tsunoda the Bidka. Here is a meaning that's pretty much the simple meaning of the pasuk. A quarrel, an argument between people is like a It's like a leak. It's like when a river is threatening to overflow. Tsinora means literally a pipe. So you have, for example, Rashi describes, you have a major river that runs between the fields, and you have little canals that are dug from it to bring water to the fields. So now, when the water level is getting higher, if it starts out rising, if you don't take care of it right away and close it up, it's going to get bigger and bigger, and you're going to have an uncontrollable flood. So therefore, the pasuk is saying that a quarrel is like that. Kiven de rovach rovach. Once it gets bigger, and eventually you come to the point this whole field gets flooded and ruined. So the same way, a quarrel, you take care of it at the beginning and then work it out at the beginning, then good. But otherwise, you leave it, and it keeps on festering, and it keeps on getting worse and worse until eventually it becomes a whole flood. So poter, in other words, according to this, would mean to open up. When there's a beginning, the opening up of mayim, of water, reishis modin, that's like what the beginning of a quarrel is like. The Gemara continues, Abaya Kshisha Omar, Abaya Kshisha said, now Kshisha means the elder Abaya. So this is not the regular Abaya in Shas, this is a different, an earlier Tana or Amora named Abaya. Anyway, so he says, Domi le guda de gamla. Another way you can compare it is a quarrel between people is like a plank of wood that forms part of a bridge. So to begin with, when you first build the bridge and put the planks of wood over there, they're a little bit wobbly because they're not fixed in place yet. But given to come, as people walk on it, once it stands, meaning in other words, the more people walk on it, then it eventually gets firmly fixed in place. So the same way now, when a person starts a quarrel, then when a person starts a quarrel, it becomes worse and worse, and eventually it becomes like this plank of wood, it becomes stronger and stronger. So Rashi says he's not deriving it from the pasuk, he's saying a practical example of where you have of something like that that comes from a quarrel. Ben Yehoyada points out, actually, you know, the comparison is, in other words, you have a person who's an argumentative sort of person, and if he keeps up at it being this kind of person, eventually everything he says becomes in an argumentative tone of voice. So it's like this plank of wood, which originally is not completely part of the bridge, but eventually it becomes part of it, and you can never tell that it wasn't there. And the same way this person develops this midah and makes it part of his personality, and that's a problem. So now the Gemara brings Shami Ushay Shevas Miras U Simen. This is a simen for a number of little expressions that the Gemara is going to bring over here. The first of them is going to be based on this Pasuk Potemayim. The Gemara is going to bring seven things that Hahu Gavra, a certain person, was walking along and saying these popular expressions. And for each one of them, the Gemara is going to find that this popular expression is hinted at someplace in a Pasuk. So the first one of them is going to be the Pasuk Potemayim Reishis Badan, which is why the Gemara is bringing it, and then it brings six more after that. So those are the words over here, Shami, Ushtei, etc., are the key words or catch words for five of them. Why it stops over there, I don't know. Anyway. Hahu Dehava Ka'om of Ozil, there was a man walking along and saying, he used to say, Tuve Deshom of Odish, it's good for a person, happy as a person, who hears people insulting him, the Odish, and he's quiet, and he's used to it. In other words, he doesn't even allow it to bother him. In modern Hebrew, the word Adish means like indifferent. So it means pretty much the same thing over here. It means he's indifferent. It actually explains the word oddish is related to the word dosh. He's used to it. So he's used to it and doesn't even allow it to bother him anymore at all. Oh, I forgot to say, actually, as far as Abaya Kshisha's explanation, where Rashi had said he's not getting it from the Pasuk at all, so it's a matter of Svara, Tosfos said that actually it does. Poter Mayim can mean a bridge which patters you from having to go in the water. If there weren't a bridge, you'd have to wade across. Now, like this, you're potter from it, and again, Rashi's mother in the beginning of a quarrel is like that. Okay, anyway, so he says, Tuve Deshama V'Odish, it's good for a person when he hears people insulting him, and he's quiet, and he's used to it, or he acts as though he's used to it, and he doesn't allow it to bother him. Chafur Bishtei Mea, 100 bad things stay away from him. In other words, there were all kinds of bad things that might have happened to him had he responded, which though he's fashpod, he saves himself from those by not responding. Omelet Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, Kroksiv. So Shmuel points out to Rabbi Yehuda, you have a pasuk that expresses this idea that this guy is saying as a popular expression. The same pasuk that we've been quoting, Potemayim, Reishis Madain, a person who starts off a quarrel, Reishis Madain, where we can understand the word Madain means Reish Meya Dini, Reishis Madain means the beginning of 100 judgments or 100 Puranis, 100 bad situations. So the word modern is short for meyadini. In addition, Rashi says the word modern is also gematria 100. So therefore, that indicates the same point. If a person starts a quarrel, then he's bringing on himself 100 different punishments and troubles, implying that if he stays away, if he makes every effort to stay out of the quarrel, then he'll save himself all those 100 troubles. There is, by the way, a famous verse that's brought on that, where if a person hears people insulting him and he doesn't respond, where somebody insults him to his face and he doesn't respond, he has a tremendous power in Shemayim that his tefillos will be answered. And there are actually stories of people who had that midah, and people would go to them to ask brachas for children or other problems like that, and those brachas taka would come true. Okay. So now, again, having brought one of these hahu dehava ka'om of ozels, so the Gemara brings a bunch more. On the surface, it's just that. The Gemara, as it often does, it brings one, and therefore it brings a bunch more like it. There is a very interesting essay on it from Reb Levi Yitzchok, the Rebbe's father, in Teres Levi Yitzchok, where he goes through them systematically and shows how each of them, he explains the Hahu Dehava Ka'omar refers on a Kabbalistic level to Malchus as it relates to Bina, and he explains in Barichus how the word Hahu represents that, and then each of these seven things, he says, corresponds to one of the six first six are the six midas from Chesed through Yisoid. So the first one over here about the person who hears people insulting him and he doesn't respond is hinting at the midah of Chesed, the midah of Avraham. Among other things, he says, Tuve, the good of him, the Tov, is related to the word Chesed, and the word Odish, which Rashi said comes from the word Dosh, which literally means to trample. It refers to Avraham, Ekev, Ashashama, Avraham, Makoli, because Avraham is associated with the heel, and he goes on, Barichos, with each of the other ones, and shows how it has to do with one of the Midas. And then the seventh one, he said, has to do with Das, as we'll get to it, when we get to it. Okay, so the next one, a man was walking along and saying, for two or three thefts, a ganav doesn't get killed. In other words, you can see a person does an aveda a few times, and you see he doesn't get punished. Don't think it means, well, he's getting away with it over and over. Eventually, he's going to get caught, and eventually, he's going to get punished for all of them. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. So again, Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Kroksiv, you have a pasuk that expresses this idea. Koyamar Hashem al Shloi. We had it last week's Haftorah. Koyamar Hashem al Shloisha Pishi Yisrael v'al Abal LaYashivenu. Hashem says because of the three averus that the Aseres HaShvatim have been doing, and then a fourth one that I won't return them, I won't forgive them, and they're going to get punished unless they do tshuva. So the point is, Hashem is saying, so to speak, I was willing to let three averus go and not punish them yet for it, but now comes the fourth one, and that's it, I'm bringing down the hammer. So similar idea to this point about the Ganav. So in Reb Leivik's explanation over here, the Ganav over here represents Gvura, and the two and three represents the five aspects of Gvura, and so forth. Next, Hahuda have a Ka'am of Ozil. A person was walking along and saying, Shev Biri Vishamana, there may be seven pits for the Shamana. Rashi explains, Shamana means Ishalim, the man of peace. Marusha says, actually, maybe the word is supposed to be Sholem, the complete man, meaning the tzaddik. In other words, there may be seven pits, one after the other, in his path, and he's in danger of falling into them, but he doesn't, and Hashem saves him from them. The chodol of a dish, but you have only one pit, and the one who does bad falls into it. Again, Omele Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Kroksiv, he was a pasuk that expresses this idea. Kishevo yipol tzaddik vakam, a tzaddik will fall seven times, but he'll get back up. So in other words, in our mashal, the tzaddik may fall into one pit after the other, but Hashem will help him out of them. Or v'rosha yipol be'echas, whereas a rosha falls into one. Now that's not actually the Lashon HaPasuk. The actual Lashon HaPasuk is, or Rishoyim yikoshlu bara, that the Rishoyim stumble over the evil. There is actually an explanation that the Gemara is actually combining together two psukim over here. There is a different pasuk in Mishlei that says v'nekash drachaim yipol be'echas, a person who acts in a crooked way ends up falling into one. So the Gemara is kind of combining together the two psukim. Marsha points out why seven pits, because that represents the Shiva Koich Belechas, the seven planets that have an influence through which Hashem brings a certain influence into the world, as we know famously about making Kiddush between 6 and 7 Friday night, and other examples like that. So the point is, even if this tzaddik has the Shiva Koich Belechas all against him, the Mitzad Mazel, everything bad would happen to him, but Hashem saves them from him. But then the Rosha, one time, there's a disaster, and it hits him. Next, Tahuda, and Reb Leivik explains this one refers to Tiferes, the Shalmona over here refers to Yaakov, etc. Hahuda have a ka'amo, the whole thing, by the way, it's interesting, you know, here you have this whole section with Ahu Gavras over here in the Gemara runs to about 18 lines in the Gemara. Reb Leivik's explanation of all the details, all the Kabbalistic ideas behind it runs to 18 pages. Just to give you an idea how a tiny bit of Gemara results in a huge amount of explanation from him. Hahuda have a ka'am of Ozil. Another man was walking along and saying, and it was the same man, whatever. Midbei dina shoko glima. Even if Beistin took your clothing, took your glima is like a coat. So Beistin required you to give your coat because you have to pay somebody else for what you owe him. Don't feel bad about it. Lizmo zemer v'lezo v'orcha. Sing a song and go on the way. In other words, you should be happy with the verdict. Amar Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Kroksiv. So again, Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, there's a pasuk that expresses this idea. Yisrael says to Moshe, when he tells him to appoint Shoftim, he says, V'gam kol ha'amazal, makom yavo b'shalom, all this people will come to peace. In other words, so what's going to happen? People are going to come to Dine Torah, and everybody's going to come out happy from there. The one who won the case is obviously going to be happy, but the point is that we're saying, this expression is saying that even the person who lost the case should be happy, for one thing, because as Rashi says, because he judged him a din emes, so he should realize that after all, what was taken away from him is something that was unjustly in his possession. We learned about that yesterday, actually, that the fact is that up until now, he was holding on to something that he shouldn't, and the Gemara had before called that tzedakah. So in the same way, he should realize that he's been the beneficiary of tzedakah, that's something that otherwise he shouldn't have been holding on to this thing, and now it was taken away from him, and therefore, and he's better off for that. An interesting point, by the way, the Shalom HaKadosh brings an interesting idea on that from his father. It also means that the Gemara is also indicating that the Dayan should actually explain to the one who lost the case in particular, to explain to him the reason behind his verdict. Because otherwise, yeah, the guy may be disappointed. The very fact that we're saying over here, Lizmar Zemer Velezo, implies that, in other words, to make it that he should be able to sing, explain to him what your reasoning was, so that he'll realize that, you know what, it was a correct judgment. This one represents Netzach, and Rav Leizer explains that a garment has to do with Netzach, etc. Next, Ahuda have a ka'am of Ozil. A person was walking along and saying, "He naim of a dekula shofel," giving a metaphor of a woman. A woman is falling asleep, and the basket is falling off. Women would often wear baskets with their sewing tools, or their knitting tools, or sewing tools, or whatever, on their heads. So here, in other words, she's falling asleep, and the basket is also falling down. In other words, it's a way of saying, in other words, that she's not paying attention. She's being lazy, and therefore the work doesn't get done. So Shmuel explains to Rav Yehuda. He also, you have a pasuk, expresses this idea. The pasuk says, because of laziness, the beams of the roof sag. And the pasuk continues that then there's leaks in the house. In other words, when a person is active and industrious and looking after his house, then he'll keep, as if he notices a tiny problem, then he'll fix it right away, and therefore there won't be leaks in the house. If not, then the beams start sagging because he's not paying attention, and eventually there's problems in the house. So in the same way over here as when she's not paying attention to her work, and then everything falls apart. So we see in the pasuk the same idea. Here Rav Levi Yitzchak explains how she and her basket have to do with hoyd, etc. Next, Tahu Dehav Ka'om of Ozel, a man was walking along and saying, Gavra Derech Chitzna Alei, the man that I relied on him, that I trusted in him, Adiel Gzizei V'Kom, he picked up his fist and stood up against me and is threatening me. So here I trusted him, and here he's acting in this way towards me. Marshall explains that actually the vakum specifically may mean that I was relying on him to watch me while I'm sleeping and make sure I'm safe, and here instead he's getting up from where we're sleeping and he's threatening me and threatening to step on me or something. He was also a pasuk for that. David HaMelech says about his enemies, Gam ish shloimi ashabotachti bo v'gomer, even the man with whom I was at peace, in whom I trusted, and the pasuk continues that even though he ate from my bread and I thought that we were friends, he lifted up his heel against me and is threatening to crush me. So in other words, we see that sometimes you trusted somebody and it turns out that he turns against you. But in particular, he's referring there to Achitofel, who had learned Torah from him, and then he turned against him. One point is that, you know, the Chovas Alavavas makes a point, you shouldn't trust anybody other than Hashem. You have to, you know, B'derech HaTeva, you have to a certain limited extent, you have to trust in human beings, but you should always realize your main betochen is on Hashem, and this is one of the points. A person can turn on you, Hashem won't. Okay, so here Rav Levick explains that we're talking about over here on the level of Yisoid, where Malchus is saying, basically, I relied on Yisoid to bring me the Shefa, and now Yisoid is turning away from me. And the last one, Hahu Dehava Ka'om of Ozel, a man was walking along and saying, Ki Rechimtin Hava Aziza, he's saying about himself and his wife, when our love was strong, Apusya Desafsira Shrivan, we were able to lie together on the width of the blade of a sword. In other words, a very narrow spot, and it was still enough for us because we were in so much love. Now that our love is not so strong, even a bed 60 amas wide is not enough for the two of us. So Rav Huna says, here you have several psukim that express this idea. With each of the other ones, we had one pasuk. Here we have a combination of psukim. To begin with, when Hashem told the Jewish people to build the Mishkan, He says to Moshe about the Oren and the Kaporis, when I add to Lachoshon, I will set up an appointment, so to speak, with you. That will be our appointed place to meet. The Dibarti Itchame Ala Kaporis, and I'll speak to you from above the Kaporis. The Shekhinah will rest on the Kaporis. The Tanya, and we learn in a Brice, the Oren Tishra Kaporis Tefach. The whole Oren was only 9 Tefachim tall, and there are actually Tanoim who hold it was even shorter. And the Kaporis is a Tefach thick. Hare Kanasoros, you have a total of 10 Tefachim of height. And the Oren is also very small, it's only 2.5 by 1.5 amos. So Hashem is saying that, so to speak, I'm willing to squeeze myself, Kavyachol, into that area and speak to you, Moshe. Later on, when it comes to the first Beit Mikdash, it says, "Va'bayis Hashabonah Hamelach Shloimeh LaHashem," the house, the heichal that Shloimeh built for Hashem, "Shishim Amah Orkei Ve'Esrim Rachvay," it was 60 amos long, 20 wide, or "Shloishim Amah Kaimasei," and 30 amos tall. All of a safe ksiv, and then later on you have when the Jewish people are doing Averis, then Hashem says, Koyam Hashem, Hashemayim Kisi, Va'aretz Hadoim Ragloi, the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Ezabais, Hashativ Naliv, again, what kind of house could you build for me? In other words, Hashem is saying, so to speak, that I can't even fit in that Beis Mikdash. So that exactly matches what we're saying over here, where this guy is saying originally we were able to squeeze together in this tiny space, and now even we have a bed of 60 amos, like the Beis Mikdash is 60 amos long, and it's not enough for us. Because Hashem is saying, because you're not acting the way you're supposed to. Maosho actually explains that what the Gemara is saying is over here, there were three stages. From the way Rashi is learning it, it comes out basically there are two stages. You have the Mishkan. Later on, you have, in the Beis Mikdash itself, the love is still strong. But later on, you have, when they're sinning, then Hashem says the Beis Mikdash is not enough for us. Maharsha breaks it down further. You really have three periods over here. You have the Mishkan, then you have the Beis Mikdash, where already the Shekhinah is not only on the Oren, it's in the entire building. So like, so to speak, Hashem is saying that already at this point, it's not enough for me to confine myself between the two poles of the Oren. The only way I'm going to fit here, so to speak, my Shekhinah is going to fit here, is in the entire building of 60 Amos. And then later on, Hashem is saying, when they're doing Averis, even that is not enough. So it's like, so already you have, in other words, already the Beis Mikdash being built, and the Shekhinah resting in the whole building, as opposed to just Bein Bader Oren, and already you see Moshe Hashem spoke to from that place above the Oren. We never find any other Navi who was spoken to like that, so that already shows a certain lessening of that love between Hashem and the Jewish people, because they're not on the level that they were before. So here, Reb Levick has a long explanation that you have there's Das Elyon and Das Tachton, and Moshe represents Das Elyon, and later on in the Beis Mikdash we have Das Tachton, and then eventually and Das Elyon, he explains, is one thing is not vulnerable to our Avedis. Das Elyon is Hashem's point of view. Im Chotasim Atifal Boivagam, even our Avedis can affect the Atzmos of Hashem. So therefore, in Moshe's time, it didn't matter. They had worshipped the Eagle, all the other things they did in the Midbar. Nevertheless, the Shekhinah stayed there, as opposed to at the level of Das Tachton, then eventually you have Averis can interfere with that, and that's what Hashem is saying, Hashemayim Kisi, etc. And he explains, interestingly, that the three measurements that we have here of the Heichel were saying 60 by 20 by 30. The letters for that are Sin, Samach, Chof, Lamed. That spells out the word Sochol, which means a fool. But a Sochol is not really so much a fool as a person who doesn't want to be involved with the Chochmah, with the Chochmah of a Lakus. He wants to be involved with secular Chochmahs and whatever. So therefore we're saying that once they had, they're at the level of Das Tachton, now already, unfortunately, you're able to have the Sochol come into play, and then you have that it drives out the Shekhinah entirely. Alright, so that's all these Hahu Gavras, Hahu Davakam of Ozels. Okay, now getting back to another point that we made in the Braisa on Vav Amud Beis, was you have a we had a situation where there's a din where we said first of all there can be a dayan who doesn't want to get involved in a case because one of the people in there, or both of them for that matter, are quarrelsome type people and they're going to harass him, or even they might be the shoyim who are going to try to interfere with his parnasa or beat him up or do other such things. So we said that before the din torah starts, fine, you're allowed to recuse yourself, but after the din torah has started, then you can't. When mishatishma divrehen, then you can't remove yourself from the case, as the pasuk says, don't be afraid of anybody. And we had a few other, the Brice had brought a few other possibilities of what Laisaguru Mipne Ish means. It means also that a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbe has to speak up if he sees that his Rebbe is going to misjudge the case. And Rabbi Hanan had said, "Lo sach nisvaracha mipnei ish." It means don't bring in, don't gather in and hide your words because you're afraid of a person. So the Gemara says, "My mashma, the high lo saguru lishne dechnushihu." Where do we see that the word lo saguru, the simple meaning of lo saguru, is don't be afraid? But again, we said that it can also mean to gather in and hide your words. So where do we see the words lo saguru can have that meaning? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Kro, because you have a pasuk for Yain Lo Sishtav Lo Seger. The pasuk says in the Tosecha, you'll have lots of grapevines, but you won't be able to drink the wine. Lo Seger, and you won't be able to gather it in because it'll be damaged by locusts or whatever. The point is, we see that the word Seger, which is from the same Shurish as Seguru, means to gather in. Rav Achaba Yaakov Amar Mehacha. Rav Achaba Yaakov says, I have a different pasuk. We find that Shlomo HaMelech says, take a look at the ant, how hard-working and industrious it is. Tochen Bakayitz Lachma, the ants prepare their food during the summertime. Ogra Bakotze Ma'achola, she gathers together during the harvest her food for the wintertime. So in other words, the ant knows how to be industrious and hard-working and to plan ahead. And Shlomo is saying to the otzel, to the lazy person, you should take a lesson from that. The point is, again, we see that ogra means to gather in. And a third one, Rav Acha, Rav Ikka, Amar Mehacha, Ogra Bakayitz, Bein Maskel. Another pasuk from Mishlei, the one who gathers in the summertime is a wise son. Because again, in other words, as opposed to the pasuk continues, that then you have a foolish son who sleeps during the harvest time, and then comes winter and he doesn't have any food. The point is, they also, ogra means to gather in. Why three different psukim habonein and Yaakov explains, because before we had three different cases where a person might think to hold back what he said. There was a dayan who's afraid that the losing party might cause him financial losses. So you have one might be you don't want to speak up because you like the guy and you don't want to say something against him. So wine is compared to that. Another one is because the guy supplies you with food. So ogra bakotze ma'achola. And the third one is because he teaches you Torah like a Talmud in front of his Rebbe. So ogra bakayitz bein maskil, that they're talking about a wise son, meaning a Talmud. So therefore these three psukim refer to three different possible cases where a person might think to hold back because his words, his opinion, and was saying that he shouldn't do that. Okay. The Gemara continues, Emes Momen Yirasim, and these are again key words for the next few statements that the Gemara is going to say about the importance of a Dayan judging truthfully. Omrav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omrav Yenison, Kol Dayan Shadon Din Emes La'amitoi. Any Dayan who judges a true judgment truthfully. Mashra Shechina b'Yisrael, he causes the Shechina to rest among the Jewish people. Shenema, as the apostle says, Kim Nitza Badas Keil, Hashem stands in the congregation of Hashem, the Kerev Elikim Yishvot, he's there judging among the judges. So in other words, where the Adas Keil means the Jewish people collectively, and the reason Kim Nitza Badas Keil, why is Hashem standing in the congregation of Hashem, meaning the Jewish people, because the Kerev Elikim Yishvot, because Hashem is judging among them, Hashem is present when the Dayon are judging truthfully. The whole dayan she'ena din don din emes la'amitoi. On the other hand, a dayan who does not judge truthfully, gurim l'shchina she'tisalik mi'Yisrael, then he causes the shchina to leave the Jewish people. She'nemar, as the pasuk says, mishoyd aniyim, because of the robbery from the poor people, where the dayanim are unjustly ruling against the poor people, me'en kasev yonim, because of the complaints and the moaning of the yonim, of the really poor who've been wronged in Beis Din, ata okum yomer Hashem v'gomer, Hashem says, now I will get up, and get up meaning, in other words, I will leave the Jewish people because they're not judging truthfully. Interestingly, there's a medrash that says there's a number of places in Tilim where David says to Hashem, Kuma Hashem, Hashem, rise up. Now there, the medrash is taking it not in the negative sense, but in the positive sense. Hashem, David is telling Hashem, stand up and show that you're the boss and punish the Rishoyim. And Hashem says, now, not necessarily, but when it comes to that the poor are being wronged, then yes, that's when, after Okum, Yomer Hashem, as the Gemara had brought the pasuk over here, yes, now I will stand up and punish the Rishoyim for what they're doing. But here, the Gemara is taking it in the sense that Hashem is also saying, I'm going to remove my Shechina from among the Jewish people. What's this expression, din emes la'amitoi? So Tosfos elsewhere explains Now, din emes would just be that you're judging according to halacha. La'amitoi means that you don't just you say, well, the edim are saying such and such, fine, we cross-examine them, everything seems to check out, so that's it. Even though I have a certain gut feeling that they're not telling the truth, I don't care, I'm just going to pass in the halacha, and the fault will be on the edim. No, a diner is done, din emes la'amitoi. He doesn't say that. He tries to find out the actual facts. He tries to cross-examine the edim further, or do all kinds of various other strategies. As we have many stories with Talmid Chachamim throughout the generations who did that in order to find out, in order to expose somebody as a liar, even though on the face of it they seem to be telling the truth. So that would be din emes la'amitoi. Next, the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachman or Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan, kol dayan shenoto mamon mizeh v'noisim lozeh shalak adin. When a dayan takes away money from one person and gives it to the other one unjustly, he passed him the halacha wrongly. Hakadosh Baruch Hu noto mamenu es nafshoi. Hashem will take away from that dayan's soul. Shenema, as the pasuk says, al tigzal dol ki dalhu. Don't rob from the poor person because he's poor. Figuring, in other words, that he's poor and he can't do anything about it. V'altadake oni bashar, and don't crush the poor person at the gate, which is the gate of the city, was usually where the bati dinim would sit. And the next passage continues. Ki Hashem yorev rivam, because Hashem will fight their fight. V'kova es kev ehem nafesh, and Hashem will steal the soul from those who steal from them. Kova means to steal. So we learned about this at the end of Bava Kama as well, that when a person steals even a shavah pruta from somebody else, it's as if he's taking the other person's life, and Hashem will take his life. So here we're mentioning, in particular, that it means that it's referring to a dayan who paskins unjustly. And the Gemara continues, V'omer Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Rav Yonasan, La'olam yira dayan atzmei kilu cherev l'munachas le'ben yachoysav. A dayan should always picture himself as though there's a sword lying between his legs, meaning though there's the slightest false move, and he's going to get stabbed. The Gehenim psucha lemitachtav, and Gehenim opened up underneath him to swallow him up. So in other words, like this, the fact that there's a sword there means he can't move to one side or another to avoid Gehenim, and if he judges wrongly, he's going to fall into Gehenim. So you should realize that, how careful he has to be to paskin correctly. And we learn that Shenema, as the pasuk says, Hine mitosei shel Shloimeh, behold the bed of Shloimeh, shishim giborim saviv lo, 60 mighty men around it, migibori Yisrael, from among the mighty men of the Jewish people. So Rashi explains, mitosei shel Shloimeh refers to the place where Hashem's Shechina is, whereas we just said the Shechina is there when they're judging in Beis Din. And Pasuk continues, Kulam achuzei cherev, all of them seized by a sword. Now the simple meaning, achuzei cherev, would mean that they are grasping a sword. But here we're understanding that it also means they are grasped by the sword. In other words, they're immobile, they're frozen in place because of the sword. Melumdei mochama, they're trained for war. Ish chaber al yerecha, each one his sword by his thighs. Mipachad balelis, because of the fear of the night. So the chaber al yerecha again refers to the fact as though their sword is between his legs, and the slightest misstep he's going to end up stabbed by it. And mipachad balelis means mipachdash or gehenim shadoim alalila, out of fear of gehenim, which is compared to the night. So therefore, so we see that a dayan has that responsibility on him all the time. What do we mean by 60 chachamim, 60 giborim? Rashi says 60 just means an indefinitely large number, because the fact is, the Sanhedrin Gerla consists of 71. On the other hand, Marsha doesn't like that. Where do we find the number? We find the number 60 often used in that kind of way in the Gemara. We don't find it in a pasuk. So rather, he brings there from a medrash that it means there are 60 plus there are another 11. So altogether, making 71. So we're mentioning 60 because you're mentioning 60 because like they're the main people. Else, there's also a pasuk. There's a pasuk also at the end of Sefer Malachim that mentions 60 people. So it means like you had the 60 main members of the Sanhedrin plus you had another 11. The Oruch Haner brings an interesting idea from a Medrash that the Sanhedrin Gedolah ideally should consist of one member from each of the 12 Shvatim, one member from each of the 24 Mishmaris Kohona, one from each of the 24 Mishmaris Leviyah. So therefore, you have 24 plus 24 plus 12 is 60. And then, yeah, because you need 71, you're going to add another 11. But that's why we're using the word 60 to represent those primary 60. Maharsha himself prefers to say that the 60 refers to the 600,000 Jews who are represented by the Sanhedrin. Anyway, the point is, we see in the pasuk that it's mentioning the sword and Gehenim, indicating that these are the kinds of things that the dayan should be afraid of. The Gemara continues, Dorash Rav Yoshi Rav Yitamer Rav Nachman Yitzchok, my dichtiv, what does it mean in the Pasuk, Beis David, the Navi Yirmiyahu is speaking to the house, to the dynasty of David. He says, Koyamar Hashem, Dinu Laboka Mishpat, so says Hashem, judge judgment in the morning, Vatsulu Gozol Miyad Oishek, and save the person who is being robbed from the person who is wronging him. Now, what do you mean Laboka? V'chi Baboka Donin, V'chol Ayoyim Ein Donin, do you mean that we judge only in the morning and not the rest of the day? Ella, no, what the pasuk means, in boru l'cha dover kaboker, if the matter in the din, that the one what you're going to paskin in the din Torah is as clear to you as the morning, omrehu, then say it, v'im lav, al temrehu, and if not, then don't say it yet, think it over further before you actually give out the psak din. So the dinu laboka, hotziula or mishpat, Rashi says, bring out the mishpat into the light, meaning in other words, make it very, 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 very clear what the mishpat is supposed to be before you announce it. So Rav Chiya Ba'aba, Om Rav Yonasan Mehocha, Rav Chiya Ba'aba says in the name of Rav Yonasan, or Rav Yochanan, it says on the side, here is a different pasuk from where we can learn the same idea. The pasuk says, Emor l'chochma achosi ot, say to chochma, you are my sister. And that means, in Boru l'cha adabar, ki achoscha, shi asur l'cha, if the matter, if the psak din that you're going to say is as clear to you as about your sister, shi asur l'cha, that your sister is also to you, which is a very obvious din that everybody knows, omrehu, then say it, v'im lav al temrehu, if not, then don't say it, think it over first. Why the comparison to a sister? There's a lot of different explanations. Marshall gives an explanation that, after all, based on human logic, you could say a man's sister maybe should be mutter to him. Nevertheless, the Torah tells you no. So that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of bittul to the chokhmah of Torah that a dayan has to have, to realize it may be logical to me to think a certain way, but the Torah tells me to pass in a different way, and that's how I'm going to do it. Then you have Nachsam Sofer says, for example, it means even so we're talking about not actually Nachsam Sofer says on the previous thing that in Boru l'cha adabar kaboker, when you have something that people are noyag heter in it, if you're not clear that it's actually also, don't tell them, that would be the previous one, like the morning. But here we're saying a person needs to be smart, dayan needs to be smart in chokhmas haTorah, and also in the way that people do things. So therefore, that's compared to a sister, like you have a brother and sister combined together. So the same way Dayan needs both of those qualities to know the Torah thoroughly and to know the way of the world thoroughly. And there's a variety of other explanations what the point is of the comparison to the sister. In fact, one of them is actually similar to the previous one from the Chassam Sofer, is from the Chiddah, that when you have something that when you're coming to Aser, don't just Aser things misafik, only if you know for sure that it's Aser, just like you know your sister is definitely Aser to you. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Asara sheyoshvim b'din, if you have 10 people sitting in a din Torah, now usually you don't have 10, you have 3 or 23 or whatever, but the point is, no matter how many people you have sitting in the din Torah, Koyler tole b'tzavar kolon. The collar, which is that koyler is literally a collar or a chain that they would put around the necks of condemned criminals who are being taken out to be executed. So koyler tole, the Gemara sometimes uses a metaphor for like the responsibility rests b'tzavar kolon on the neck of all of them. In other words, all of them are equally responsible. If the din Torah was paskin wrongly, all of them are responsible. So Gemara says pshita, obviously, whoever agreed to that verdict are the ones responsible for it. And the ones who didn't, the ones who disagreed, then the Aruch HaNer says, well, of course, they're not going to be held responsible. They didn't do anything wrong. So the answer is, Lo Tzricha, El Talmud Shayoshiv Lifnei Rabbi. The Chiddush is, what Rabbi Shrovan Levi is saying, even if the Talmud is sitting in front of his Rebbe, and we learned yesterday that the Talmud sees that the Rebbe is making a mistake, he doesn't know a particular detail of the din that would make a difference in the din Torah, and he doesn't speak up. So we're saying the responsibility for the wrong psak din rests on him as well, not just on his Rab, who was sitting on the base din, but even on he who could have spoken up and told the Rab that he needs to paskin differently. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Rav Huna kaveh osi din al kameh, when a din Torah would come in front of Rav Huna, nichnifu maisi asorah rabbanan midei rab, he would gather together 10 chachamim from the yeshiva, that they should all discuss it together. Omar, he says, ki heki delimti an shiva mikshura, this way only a splinter of the beam will come to me. In other words, like this, you have 10 people carrying the beam, each one is carrying only a little bit of the burden, So he's saying, so to speak, in other words, this way, the responsibility will be diffused among all of us. Each one of us individually is not going to have to bear that much punishment. And of course, there's also the idea that as you have more people, they'll be able to deliberate together and they'll be able to come to a better pact in. But the point is, even if they do paskin wrongly, then the responsibility and the punishment is more spread out, among people. So the Rambam actually brings the halacha that it is better to have a larger number when you're doing the Gemara Din precisely for that reason. And the Gemara says similarly, Rav Ashi ki ava osi treif de lakame, when there was a shayla in treifus that would be brought to Rav Ami, to Rav Ashi, machne for maisi lehu lakula tabchi de Masa Machasya, he would gather together all the shochtim of Masa Machasya, which was the city where he lived, Omar, and he says the same thing, ki hechi de linti and shiva mikshura, the same thing, there should be only a splinter from the beam comes to me. In other words, the same idea, in other words, we'll share the blame more widely if all of us together do paskin, that it's kosher, and it turns out to be treif, then this way the responsibility will be divided among all of us, and each of us will get away with only a little bit of punishment. The Gemara continues, Ki osa Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said over the following drasha, Dorash Rav Nachman Bakoyen, Mai Dichtiv Melech B'Mishpat Yamid Oretz, the Pasuk says, the king will uphold the world with judgment, the Ish Trumos Yehersana, whereas a man of gifts of Trumos will destroy the world. So what does that mean? Im Dayan Doimel Melech Shein Tzorach L'Klum. If the Dayan is like a king who doesn't need anything, meaning in other words that he knows all the dinim thoroughly, so he's full of chokhmah. That actually says like a king who's rich. So then, such a Dayan who knows the dinim thoroughly, Yamid Oretz, and he upholds the world because he judges correctly, and as we said before, judging correctly keeps as we know from Pirkei Avos, Ala Din Vala Emes Vala Shalom, the world stands on proper din. But if the Dayan is going to be like a Koyan who goes around from one granary to another to ask for Truma, so in other words, the same way, you have a Dayan over here who doesn't know the dinim, and he's constantly having to go and ask other Chachamim, Senna, then he ruins the world because then he doesn't know the halacha thoroughly and he's going to end up making a mistake. Tosfos points out that elsewhere in the Gemara in Ksubas it brings the same statement in connection with a Dayan taking or not taking Sheikhad. So in other words, the point is that he's like a melech, he's literally rich, so therefore people offer him Sheikhad, and he says, I don't need it anyway, I'm rich, and therefore he doesn't even have a Yetzirah for it, as opposed to if he does, and he takes it, or at least has a tendency to it, then Yehav Sena, then he ruins the world, because then he takes Sheikhad, or he has a very strong tendency towards taking it. So the Gemara tells in this connection, the household of the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, one time they appointed a Dayan who had not thoroughly learned the halachas. Then the Reish Lulusa says to Yehuda Bar Nachmeni, who was the Maturgamon of Reish Lakish, we had him recently in Ein Yaakov as well, in Ksubas, but as we know, a Chocham in those days would say over when he's giving a drosha in public, or when he's teaching his Talmidim, he would say his points quietly, and then his Maturgamon would repeat it out loud and explain it more clearly to everybody else. So this Yehuda Bar Nachmeni did that job for Reish Lakish. For in Reish Lakish's in Reish Lakish's Beis Medrash. So now the Reish Galusa says to Yehuda Ben Achmeni, he tells him, Kuma Leiba Amora, now go to this Dayan and serve him as an Amora, the same thing that you usually do for Reish Lakish, do for this Dayan. He's going to say a Drasha, and you're going to repeat it over and explain it to everybody. Come Gochin Ale, sort of Yehuda Ben Achmeni got up and bent over the Dayan to hear what he has to say. But the Dayan wasn't saying anything. He couldn't think of something to teach in Torah. Posach, the Omar, sort of Yehuda Ben Achmeni himself gave a speech and said as follows. He quoted a posach from Chavakuk. Hoy, woe, Oymola Eitz Hakitza, who says to the tree, or to the wood, wake up. In context, the pasuk is talking about the goyim and the getchkes. They say to the wood and stone idols, wake up, speak to us, do something. And they don't, because they can't, of course. So here, Yehuda Ben Achmeni is using that about this dayan over here. You're telling the tree, or the wood, wake up. and a tree refers to a dayan. Ki Adam Eitz HaSada refers to a Talmud Chacham, and here we're saying this guy is passing himself off as a Talmud Chacham, and he's been appointed as a dayan, but he doesn't know anything. So woe to the person, to the Reish Galusa, who says to the tree, wake up, Uri le'evin dumam, or he says to a mute stone, wake up, also Hakitza and Uri both mean wake up. Hu yore, can he teach? Hine hu tofus zahav v'chesef. And he's grabbed with gold and silver. In other words, he's paid gold and silver to get this position. V'choruach ein v'kirbay, and there's no spirit, there's no life in him. So in other words, Yehuda Bar Nachmeni is using this pasuk to criticize this unqualified dayan that he was just being appointed because of money. And how can he teach Torah? He doesn't even have the ability to teach Torah. He's nothing but a block of wood or stone that can't speak like a getchka. And the Gemara says, and Yehuda Bar Nachmeni continued in his speech, in the future, Hashem is going to punish those who appoint such unqualified dayanim. Shenema is the very next pasuk that continues with Chavakuk. Hashem is in his holy palace. Be silent in front of him, all the earth, all the world. And the word has, meaning be silent, also means the kind of silence that there is after a destruction, Rahman al-Islam. So therefore it means that Hashem is going to destroy and punish people who do this kind of thing, who appoint these unqualified dayanim, who don't know anything, who are in that sense like getchkes that are just full of gold and silver but useless. And the Gemara continues, Omer Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish himself has something to say about this. A person appoints a dayan who's unqualified. And by the way, the Rambam points out in this connection, the dayan may have many good midas. We're not Sam talking a guy off the street who paid a lot of money. He may be a Yoreh Shamayim, he may have all kinds of good midas, but he doesn't know the actual halachas. So that's what we're saying over here is no good. And Rish Lakish says, such a person, kibu neteya ashera, is as if he's Bisrael, as if he's planting an ashera tree, a tree that's worshipped as Avodah Zarah, among the Jewish people. Shenema, as we find in the pasuk, shofnim v'shotim titin l'cha, Hashem says, set up for yourself shoftim and shoftim, v'samich lay, and the next pasuk continues, lo sita l'cha ashera kol eitz, don't plant for yourself an ashera or any kind of tree. So in other words, the pasuk is saying, have dayanim, but don't have the type of dayan who's like an asherah, and who's unqualified to judge. And there's a number of ways of comparing to an asherah. One point is that the pasuk is saying, don't put an asherah in the Bis Mikdash. Here you have the dayanim that are in the Bis Mikdash, in the Lushkas and Gozis. And here you're putting an unqualified dayan over there, and after all, the dayan, as we said before, is called elikim. So then it's almost like you're putting, Marsha explains, like you're putting elikim achirim, like you're putting together Hashem together with a getchke rachman al-tzlan, the same way you're putting over here a qualified and unqualified dayan together. The Oruch HaNer points out, just planting an asherah by itself is also, even if it's not worship. The same way, just appointing a dayan like that is an itzur, even if he doesn't actually end up serving. Marsha, by the way, goes into a long thing over here, a long criticism of the kind of thing that he had in his times, where people are paying money for positions as Rabbanim. And he says, you know, you see throughout Shas that Rabbanim, that actual Chachamim would try to stay away from positions of greatness, and here we're saying in the Gemara that when they were being appointed because of money, then it's a bad thing, and so on and so forth. And he goes on for a couple of dozen lines criticizing this kind of thing of Rabbanim who were being appointed by paying money to the government or to the Vada Kol or whatever to be appointed as Rabbanim. The Maharal wasn't the first one to criticize it. The Maharal a few decades before him also did. And it continued to be a problem. The Alter Rebbe, in one of his depositions after he was arrested, deals with that point also, and he mentions that throughout the period when Poland existed as a country, then you had that problem where Rabbanim, where people are paying the government to be appointed as Rabbanim, and it's a real problem. Not all of them are qualified. He says nowadays you Russians have put a stop to that, and then that's one good thing that you've done for the Jewish people. He says. Anyway. Later on, the Russians also came up with ways of appointing unqualified rabbanim. They came up with the concept of Rav Mitam, that a Rav officially has to know Russian, and various other secular things like that, which the Rabbeim and others did, or Rabbeim and many other Gerovi Yisrael fought very hard against that, etc., etc. Anyway. So the Gemara continues. Siv, you have a pasuk that says, "Loi sasun iti eloike chesef eloike zahav." The pasuk says, "Don't make with me," Hashem says, "gods of silver or gods of gold." So what do you mean? Only silver, silver and gold. So what do you mean? Eloike chesef eloike zahav, or do I have the hod de eitz shari? What does that mean? You're not allowed to make idols of silver or gold, but you're allowed to make them out of wood. No, Omer Ashi. It means you're not allowed to appoint a dayan because of silver or because of gold. Again, because he's paying money to be appointed, don't appoint such a dayan. Okay, so now that we talked about things where a dayan has to be very, very careful about fasting correctly, and if he does, then he's bringing the shechina into the Jewish people, and if not, then not. So the Gemara gives an example, for example, where of something that Rav would say about that. Rav ki hava osi lebei dina omahochi. When Rav would come to his day spin, where he's going to be judging dini mamonis, he would say the following: Berus nafshi l'ktolam nafik. With his own will, he's going out to be killed. Meaning, in other words, because he's saying about himself, in other words, that I'm going out and I'm always putting myself in danger. Again, I might pass in wrongly and Hashem is going to hold me responsible. Or another explanation is also that it may mean also, Marshall says it means that he's saying that I'm putting myself in danger. After all, if I pass in against a powerful Baal Din, he may harass me or even kill me. So it's like I'm putting myself voluntarily in danger. Utsvi beise lesu ovid, and he's not doing what he needs for his household, because in other words, I should be at home bringing him a parnosa for my family, instead I'm going and judging dinei Torah. Vereikam lebeise oyo, and he, meaning I, am coming home empty-handed, without even, because after all, a dayan is not allowed to be paid for judging dinei Torah. Olavai shetei bia kiyatia, halavai, that my coming home should be that my coming into Beis Din, where I don't yet have any Avedis, should be Kitzia, should be like when I leave Beis Din, in other words, that I should not make a mistake and then be liable to punishment, just like now when I come into Beis Din. I'm innocent because I haven't passed anything wrong yet, so it should be later on when I leave the Beis Din. Another explanation Marashah says is he's saying on himself that, you know, if I make a mistake in the Din Torah, as we learned earlier, I may be on the hook to pay. So as it is, not only am I not making money, but I'm risking that I may end up losing. So halavai, at least, that I should come out not having to owe anything like I do when I'm coming in, rather than I make a mistake in halacha and end up having to pay the losing party. And the Gemara continues, v'chi havachozi ambuha de safri basrei. Also, when Rav would see a crowd of people who are following him, because he's a great tremendous talmid chacham, so there's always a crowd following him, he wanted to say something to himself to make sure that he should realize to not become a baal gaiva from it. Omar, he would quote to himself the psukim from Iyov, im yala l'shamayim siyo v'gomer, even if his greatness reaches up to heavens, and the pasuk continues in that vein, that he becomes very, very great, the pasuk continues, his head reaches up to the cloud, yet he will be lost forever, the gomer, he'll be lost forever like a piece of dung, like a piece of waste, which is worthless. So in other words, the point is, he would say this to himself to realize, no matter how great I am, people are following me, people want to hear what I have to say, to not become a baal gaiva, realize that I'm in the end I'm gone. No, in the end I'm gone like a golo, like a piece of waste. Similarly, Marzutra Chasida kava machatzale b'shabbos to the rigla. Marzutra Chasida, when they would carry him on their shoulders during the Shabbos before the Yom Tov. So Rashi describes Shabbos Sederigla means the Shabbosim within 30 days before Yom Tov, where Shoyel and Vedoshin, you start asking and darshaning in questions relating to the Yom Tov 30 days beforehand. So those Shabbosim are called Shabbos Sederigla. Now the point is, there were large crowds over there, and Mazutra Chasida was old. He couldn't go quickly, and the result is that he'd be walking slowly into the Beis Medrash, and everybody would have to stand up in his honor. So therefore, instead, they would have their slaves carry them in, and carry them in quickly, and that way they could get to their place before everybody, that way they're not matriach, and everybody'd stand up. So again, this is a big cover that he's being given. So again, Omar Hochi, so he would say a similar pasuk to remind himself to not be a baal gaiva, ki loy la'olam choysen, strength is not forever, v'im nezil l'dor v'dor, and is there a crown from generation to generation? So in other words, the same idea. In other words, don't think that you're great and you're always going to be great. Realize that Hashem that Hashem brings people up and down. Choisen, Rashi, Marshal explains, choisen means strength. So even you have strength and you have nazir, you have a crown, nevertheless, it doesn't last forever. Eventually a person dies, and that helped him keep things in perspective and realize to not be a Baal Gaiva despite all of this, despite all this cover that they're giving him. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem.